given the introduction. And the title is going to be The Children of Light Walking in Darkness. The Children of Light Walking in Darkness. A person came into our fellowship a number of months ago, so he doesn't know the etiquette of the place. And he said he's been reading a good book and he wanted to give it to me. It was by Bill Wyman and the Rolling Stones. It was about that thick. I said I would read it. And as I've been going through then the Rolling Stones, there's a phrase which keeps cropping up, that so often they were in a dark place. That's a figure of speech that people use today. Are you in a dark place? Well, it's not just a figure of modern speech. It's a figure of biblical speech. Because you find there that Isaiah says, there are those people who sit in the very shadow of the valley of death. And there are those people who sit in the shadow of death itself. And there are people tonight, you know, which are sitting in that experience. There are those in Syria, a country, sitting in the shadow of death. There are those also in Afghanistan and many other places. But it's not just those kind of countries that people are sitting in darkness. There are many people sitting in darkness in their minds and in their thinking. There was a certain person, again, who I met a number of weeks ago, and they told me that what they did for a living was that they wrote romance stories about dead people, how a person has a relationship with a dead person. And I thought of that, I thought how dark that person's mind could possibly be, because that is truly then a situation where there is little light and joy and happiness. And then, you know, there are those, perhaps even in the way that they dress. Please don't think of conscious of what you wear. But I have noticed over a number of years that there are certain people who come and they're always dressed. You may think it's spiritual, like the Puritans, but they're always dressed in black. And I remember having a conversation, because I picked up on this, and I decided to confront one particular woman in the congregation. I said, look, I've never seen you wear anything else but black. And they said to me this, well, I wear black because of this, it's comforting. I can hide myself and clothe myself and cover myself. And you know, you realize there are people which are living in hiding places. And those now, even in the choice of their clothes, are having that form of comfort from darkness. When a person becomes a Christian, you come to the light. When a person knows the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the experience of what it is that light has come into your life. We read there in John that John came to bear witness to the light. He was not the light, but he bore witness to the light which lights every man. The Lord Jesus Christ said this, I am the light. And anyone who comes to me and follows me shall not walk in darkness. And one of the great testimonies, you know, of a Christian and of a Christian church, I don't know if you've been in those churches where those gargoyles and it seems so dark and it seems so different to what the church should be, is that you've come to experience light. And you know what it is to be transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his Son and of his love. And yet, can I show you from these verses three things this night? That first of all, it is possible, thank the Lord for this, that you can know of light. That is the gospel. You find it there in verse 5, that we declare to you that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. You came to know that. You were once darkness, now you're light. Then in verse 6, you find that it's possible for those you see which have known of light can also walk in darkness. And then in verse 7, which we want to finish, it is possible for those who are children of light to have fellowship and to walk in the light. And that's what we want to just experience, first of all, in verse 5, that there is this great message that we declare to you, which we have heard, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. That's what John is saying, the wonderful truth this evening, that the fellowship that John has experienced. Do you remember John who leaned upon Jesus' breast? No one was closer to the Lord Jesus than the Apostle John. And he says, you know that fellowship which we had with him, we touched and we saw and we heard. Oh, that fellowship we have with you, and it's with the Father, and it's with the Son, and you've come to know fellowship, and we want that fellowship that you may know it in verse 4. We write to you that your fellowship, the joy may be full, and you can come and know God. And whatever else this gospel is about this evening, it's about God. It's not about religion. It's not about morality. It's not about being nice. It's not what you want to do. Ultimately, it's about God. And wherever you are tonight, I don't know what place you're in. You may be in a dark place. You could be in a very shadow itself. You say, what have you got to tell me? I've got to tell you something about God. God's light. And no matter how dark that place may be, if you know God in the darkest of your experiences, if you know light, and we declare it to you, if there's something that we've come to know this evening, it's this, is that, you know, God is light. We've seen it in Jesus Christ. And there's something you know about God in his very character and person. Jesus Christ has come to show us that the one who made this world, the creator, something about his very essence, that he is light eternal, that there is no darkness in him at all, that glory and splendor and majesty. Do you know where you get that from? You only get it from Jesus Christ. You get it from the revelation which came. John could say when he says, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know where he saw that? He saw it on that Mount of Transfiguration. And the very essence of his being, whether his perfect manhood and his glory and his deity shone through. And if you were to say what John tells us about heaven, I'll tell you what heaven's like. It's a place where there's no night, no shadows. It's a place which is eternal light. And it's full of brilliance. And no man has seen God at any time. Why? Because, the sheer brilliance and purity which comes from that eternal light, the uncreated light. Oh, to know what it is that he's come and he made light on that first day. And he brought spiritual light to our eyes. Lord Jesus Christ, he came to show us the very nature of God. And not only that, you know, this word for light and darkness in verse 5. In scripture, that's used not just for the natural essence, but it's also used for error, darkness, ignorance. And you know, in God, there is no error. There is no knowledge which he does not know. There is no uncertainty. There are no things. You see, God knows everything. He has a perfect understanding of all things. He knows your tomorrows. He knows your yesterdays. He knows the future in 100,000 billion years' time. He knows it all. There is no shadow of misunderstanding or lack of knowledge or insight into anything. God sees it all. That's what it says when it says there is no darkness in him. And then obviously God is light in this, in that he is pure and that he is moral. When you think of that Ten Commandments, and it's spoken of as light, isn't it? That moral Lord of God. And he's telling us something about God. Do you know, when you think of Jesus Christ, what was it that Anne Whittacombe once said, dealing with some politician? There's something of the night in him, but there's no night in the Lord Jesus. When people saw him, John saw him, was with him for 3 years, was with him day and night, and knew something about his life. Do you know, there were no grey areas. There were no dark days. No, they weren't. There were no kind of, what was Churchill who said, the mad dog or the black dog which got hold of him. The Lord Jesus went through the darkest of times, but in himself there was joy and he was full of it. And in the Lord Jesus Christ there was love and there was grace. And oh, when you think of the purity and the thinking of our Saviour, oh, to know something of that light. I remember talking to a man, actually it was only last week, and he's a fine man, you know. Oh, a fine man. And he would fit into this congregation, and he's a good Christian. And he was telling me, you know, he was walking along the street, and oh, he loves the Lord. I talked to him about the scriptures. And he said to me, do you know, I was walking there and someone bumped into me. And do you know, as he bumped into me, I swore. I thought to myself, where did it come from? It came from there. Do you see it in there? deep down, and you look at a river and it's crystal clear, and the wind comes and the waves come, and then the very darkness and the soot rises to the top. And the Lord Jesus Christ was in this world, and they took him and they crucified him and they spat upon him and they beat him. He said, Father, forgive them. No guile in his mouth, no retaliation. Not a flicker of darkness in the deepest recesses of his being. You say, what's God? You come to God and you see light. You come to the heart of God, you see light. Go further with God, you see light. And there's no darkness in any shape or any form. We declare that to you. I want to declare it to you. Whoever you are tonight, wherever you are, in your darkness, if you don't know him, if you're in this world and you are thinking, what is this all about? If you're looking for God and you're thinking about your meaning of life and you don't know which way to turn and you think of where you are and you're just totally confused and perplexed, I've got a message for you, God. God's your answer. God is what you need. You've got to come to him. The God of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to come to him. See, people have got many ideas about God, haven't they? Do you know there are those nations in the world, billions of people, which are held in the darkness of their own imagination of what gods they've got. You think of the many gods of the Hindus. What is it? A million and more? And all the kind of perversities, and all the sensuality, and all the deprivation and depravity which comes from the human thinking about God. I remember being in the States, and it was the first time I heard it. And there was someone giving a missionary report, and they were saying that they were out there in some kind of country and trying to explain to the people of their view of God that when they looked at the moon, and they saw those dark patches on the moon, that in their thinking, that was because God had raped the moon and had done something to the moon. And people got their thoughts about God. When you come to Jesus Christ tonight, I want to tell you that God is light. And you can know him. You can find him. No impurity in him. Truth is in him. No error is in him. And you can know what it is to walk in that light. And we declare it to you. The possibility and the reality that when you come to Jesus Christ, he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness. And you come to him and you're transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. And you can know what it was, that you who once darkness are now light. You can know that. That's what you are as a Christian. You've come to him. And you know that. You need to know that, you see. If you're going to be a children of light walking in darkness, you've got to know light first. Or you're just simply a child of darkness walking in darkness. I said, we declare it to you. We declare it. But then also, look now in verse 6. In saying all that, there is this verse which tells us then, and is it possible? I know that this first letter of John is written in the subjunctive, in the Greek, which tells us, is it the mind of the question mark with a doubtful question? If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. Now I will say this, that a person who becomes a Christian, I believe, is a child of God. And is always a child of God. But it's also possible, and I do believe this too, that you may be a child of God and you can do what these people are doing. And it may be that you can walk in darkness. And whatever else you may be doing, you can lie into yourself. Because if you say that you have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And there are two ways tonight by which you can be a child of light and walk in darkness. And the first is this, found in verse 6. It's by the what you say to yourself in your lies and how you live then in your life. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, well, we lie. That's the first thing that we do it. Do you know, there have been those in the past which have had a certain brand of teaching called antinomianism. You may not know what that is, but it's about being justified by faith, being declared right with God by knowing the blessing of what it is to know God's forgiveness, reading the scriptures, and then coming to the conclusion that because God has now declared you right, that somehow you can just live your life as you like, with no consequences whatsoever, and you can do what you want to do. There are many people like that. And there may be those here this evening who perhaps may not have that term over their lives, but you're very flippant with the forgiveness of God. And you're very casual in your lifestyle in which you're leading. And what you say to yourself is this: no matter what I do, you see, God can forgive me. God can forgive you everything. And God is a forgiving God, and He deals with us not according to our sins. But I know this: whatever else you're saying to yourself, you're lying on this truth that you have fellowship with God. That somehow in your life, that you can carry on as you want, and you can know the blessings and the full joy of God, and you can know what it is to have sweet communion with Him, and live a life as you do in your sin. Do you know what that is? It's lies, that's what it is. You're lying to your heart. You're lying to your conscience. You're lying in your very walk with God. And we're living in those days. We're living in a day, you know, you couldn't believe. If I had looked in this congregation, and you think of some of the things perhaps you're doing now, which you didn't do when you first were converted, and the things now we've gone as a church, let's admit it, as a church, as an evangelical body, there are things which were one times all counted sinful, but all of a sudden, you know, they're no longer sins. And we're lying to ourselves. We say those things don't matter. Oh, but they do matter. They matter in the most deepest part of your life and your experience. They matter, you know, in your fellowship with God. And there's no money, no price can know what it is to have sweet communion with God. Ah, but we live like that, don't we? You know, haven't you been out in the world today? And what happens is you've got two people. I only listened to it on the radio coming up. And there was someone speaking on the church. And what they were saying was this, is that in their church, they have all forms of relationship. Listen to it now. All forms of relationship. And there'll be those that can live together. And there are those even of the same sex, they can live together in their church. But I know this about them: if you ever talk to them and say they don't have fellowship with God, they'll be horrified. Horrified. No, they can live as they want. And they have communion with God, don't they? That's what they're telling you. It's our church. That's what we're into. And it doesn't matter either way what our lifestyles are like. Because there we are, we know what it is to know that God loves us. They're lying. Lying into their own hearts and their own minds. Nothing like it. Have you turned on to your God TV? Have you seen these kind of characters which get up on the stage and I know they strut around and they're always telling you about some vision they've had of heaven and what the Lord told them this morning? I tell you, you can read that book, Good Morning Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not close to that man. Why? Oh, because their lifestyles are a million miles from what God wants to do in their lives. And yet they claim it, don't they? Claim it. They lie to themselves. Lying. And that could be you too. And you're flirting. And you're doing things. And you're saying to yourself, well, it's not really too bad. And it's not really serious. And, you know, God loves me. And, you know, it's only for a moment. And God knows what I need anyway. And, you know, those kind of things. And, oh no, you're walking in darkness. You're walking in darkness in your own head. And your own life. You're lying to yourself. And it's not just in the way that we talk. It's obviously the way that we live too. Because there it is. And walk in darkness. And that word then for walk is the word which is used in the Old Testament for the whole lifestyle of an individual and a person. And what happens is that he's speaking here of how then we conduct our lives. And you know, people say today that there is no sin and sin doesn't have con- but then there's this whole lifestyle. Let me just read to you what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 13. And he says here in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness And let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in rivalry, drunkenness, in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. And anyone who walks in that way, do you know what you're doing? When you're walking there in drunkenness and in lewdness and envy and strife. Now, I don't want to stand on anybody's toes. But boy, we've come to an age, haven't we? I tell you, there are Christians here. Normally a congregation about this size, a modern day. They couldn't go to bed unless they've had a few swigs of whatever wine they may have. No, no, please listen. There are those, you say, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I tell you where we are. We come to that place where unless it's there, and you see nothing wrong with it. Ah, but it was wrong at one time, wasn't it? And you know sometimes you go over the top, and all of a sudden you've got a lifestyle. And you end up into it. And you go to work. And then you've now got relationships which you never had before. And what about that stupid dating upon your internet? And you've got these fictional kind of characters which you enter into. And all of a sudden you think that's right. And your lifestyle is of darkness. And you walk in it. That's a dark walk. Dark walk. And so it is, there are people, you say, how can you do? Well, you can live and know the light of God, and you can walk in darkness. That may be you. And that's a dark place to be, because you don't know the full blessing and the enjoyment of the things of God. That's the truth of it. But look then, there is something of light in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Now you say, well, is that me then this evening? Well, there's two ways you need to answer this, because I don't want to put guilt in you for no reason. If we walk in the light, what's going to happen? He gives us two visible things that we can identify in our life, that we are truly then on that path. And the first is this, is that we have fellowship with one another. Now that is interesting in itself, because remember now, he speaks of fellowship with God. And then he says, but if you walk in the light, it's fellowship with one another. And I suppose that's a good key. There have been many people who have come to various positions in their life, and obviously in church life, and they believe that they've come to the truth. They've got a certain form of teaching. And I can tell you whether that teaching is true or not, is because of this. It will either bring them into the fellowship, or it will separate them from the fellowship. And it makes no difference how biblical it may be. The fact is, if it separates them from the fellowship, I tell you, it's not light, it's darkness. That's what it's error. And it takes you from those people of God. And one of the things that happens when you know of sin in your life is that sin comes and separates you. And it separates you from God. But the visible sign of it is this. It separates you from God's people. Now, sometimes you can have them. I hope you haven't changed your seat tonight. But I know people, you know, once they sit in the front, and then they begin to sit in the back, and I know it's not long before they're not even going to be sitting at all. Because all of a sudden, the last place you want to be is under the sound of God's word. You know that saying, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And there's a very real reality. The last person you want to meet is the minister and the preacher. The last thing you want to be identified with, those who prick your conscience in any shape or form. So what happens is this, is that when things are not right in your life, there begins then to be a pulling away from that fellowship. From the prayer meetings. From the means of grace. From the Sunday services. I mean, I know I can't, but do you come? Do you really come? Do you come as you once did? Do you come to those services? I did at one time. Ah, but I'm not coming anymore. But there's something in your heart, you see. You don't realize the hardness of your heart, the thinking, the mindset. Something's happened in you. Something's touched you. And one of the things that you'll know when there's a greater joy and blessing of God in your soul, you want to praise him, thank him, make him known, witness. Oh, know the blessings of the fellowship with him. That's it. That's how you identify. If you are of the light, you'll have fellowship with him.
Ah, but there's a second thing too. And it's not just fellowship with one another. Can I say it to you? It's the fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. Cleanses us from all sin. Something else that doesn't take place. When you're lying to yourself about your lifestyle and about where you are before God, see, there's one thing you don't need. If you don't recognize it's sin, you don't need a savior. If you don't come to that place where you realize that there are things which are wrong and you say that those things are fine, you don't need, do you, the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from your sin. And perhaps there are those which are saying, there was no need for an atonement, no need for a sacrifice. Sin isn't all that what it's made out to be. Sin isn't, no such thing as sin. You don't know the blood of Jesus. That's what you don't know. You don't know him. And it's only when you come and you begin to confess and you say to God of what you've done and you tell him for what you are, that once again you can come and walk in the light. How do I know I'm in the light? I confess my sins. I know the blood of Jesus cleanses me from sin. It's not because I'm perfect in any shape or form. It's the fact that I am a fallen human being. Look, thankfully I'm only here now and again. But I'll tell you, the hardest thing in any fellowship, I can never get one of my people to say in any shape or form, if something goes wrong in the church, it is never their fault. It is always someone else. Someone else is the problem. And you begin to realize, do you know what I've got? I've got a church of perfect people. No one sticks their hand up and says, do you know, I said the wrong thing. I said it in the wrong way. It was my fault unconditionally, 100%. And because of that, no one knows the blessing and the power of the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing before God. You don't know it, don't know it. And that's what you're doing. You're walking in darkness and you're not walking in the light. That's the sign that you have. There is, and this is hard, but I want to bring it to you because I want us to have an experience of God. There is something here this evening I've got written down. Andrew Davis came to speak for us in Narberth on the King James Version of the Bible. And one of the people who was in charge of the King James Version of the Bible was a man called Lancelot Andrews. And he's got a little book which wasn't for publication. It's called The Private Devotions and Confessions of Lancelot Andrews. And you know, I want to say that perhaps we're a people which are walking in darkness. And I'll just give you one of his prayers. And this is what he prays. And I'm going to ask you this question. When was the last time you confessed sin like this? When was the last time that you just were open before God? When was the last time you were absolutely, totally honest with him and said, Lord, this is what I thought, and I'll tell you why I thought it. Because this is what I am. Lord, do you know this is what I've said? I'll tell you why I've said it. Because this is what I am. When was the last time where you really came before God and you knew what it was to be before the light and you did your business with God and you come to God every day and you say, Lord, forgive me, and he forgives you. Perhaps you're not walking in the light. I'll just read it to you. This is what he says, and he says, I've sinned of a variety, O Lord, and I have made of sin, for even my life makes it manifest. I confess it unto thee, seeing that if I would, I could not conceal it from thee, O Lord. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? I am a sinner of unclean seed, a shoot of a wild olive tree. I've sinned with my father. I've done amiss, dwelled wickedly. I've done perversely. I've committed wickedness. I've borne myself forwardly in covenant. I've cast away the law. I've rejected discipline. I've vexed the Holy Spirit. Done imaginations of my heart. I've gone after sin. I've not feared thee. I've not returned. Not even when recalled and when afflicted. But have hardened my heart. Provoked thee. All this thou hast seen. And held thy peace. What's wrong with this man? Shall I tell you what's wrong with him? He's walking in the light. Walking close to God. He's a man who knew God. A man who experienced God. No, he that's his life. And you say, well, what is it about? No, when you come to the light, don't you? There are recesses in your being, like this universe, which have not yet been explored. And there are avenues in your soul and your mind and your spirit that light perhaps hasn't even begun to shine upon. You say, what am I doing? That's what I'm doing. Do you know when you come, you say, how do you know when a church comes to know that? Or you know the joy of sins forgiven. You know the blessedness of the blood. You know the cleansing power and of its depth. You know the length and the breadth of the love of God which he has for you. When you come and you just come before God and you just don't put any more pretense upon it. You just say, this is what I am. You know the cleansing power of the blood. Do you know there are people perhaps walking in darkness tonight? You may be walking in darkness because you're walking in sin. That's what you're doing. You don't have fellowship with God. No, you're lying to yourself. You are, really. It's impossible. He's light, your darkness. There are those of you, you're not walking in sin. But I tell you what you are doing. You're walking with sin. Because something that you've done many years ago. And you can't seem to forgive yourself. And the guilt of it, and the shame of it, and the shadow of it just hangs over your life. Do you know what you're doing? That's what you're doing. And you're walking under the shadow. No. Some of you tonight, and perhaps most of you, you're walking with confessed sin. And you know what it is to walk in that light and the blessing and the victory of it. You simply came to him and you said, Lord, this is what I am. And this is what I'm doing. It's just wrong, you know. It's just wrong. That's what it is. My heart's hard. And it's been hard. And I know your Holy Spirit has talked to me, but I've grieved him. I have grieved the Holy Spirit. Your law, I've laughed at it. You've called me every meeting. My ears have been deaf. And then there's those who've known, yes, Lord, the blessedness of sins forgiven. Is that you? It's not that you're perfect, but you're forgiven. That's what you are. Children of light, walking in darkness.